We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Striking Gold, your 49ers podcast on the Blue Wire Network. My name is Rob Lauder. I cover the 49ers for all of you fine folks on the other end of the speaker. Appreciate you tuning in. Appreciate you being here. How you doing? Hopefully, I don't know. It's not the holidays anymore, is it? Man, that went by so fast. I was at CVS picking up some baby stuff. And I don't know what, if it was a song on the radio or if it was something sitting on a shelf, but I was like, man, Christmas came and went. And like, I went through just this very brief kind of depression. Like I was like, cause I absolutely love the Christmas season, the holiday season. I love the music. I love the weather. I love just the general feel of, you know, getting together with family. And, you know, we had our son just about a week before Christmas, which was a huge blessing to me, by the way, because I was worried, you know, his due date was either 2 days, was always either 2 days before Christmas. At first, it started out as the 28th, and then it started out as the, then it eventually became the 23rd. And when it was the 28th, the custodian at my school had talked to me about how his brother's birthday is a couple days after Christmas and he hates it because no one ever wants to get together for his birthday because they just got together for the holidays. And so I'm worried about that. And then when it got moved up to the 23rd, I'm like, okay, good. At least he beats Christmas by a little bit, but they're still so close. It's only a couple days away. And then he ended up coming just a little bit early, about a week early. So I was excited that his birthday beat Christmas by a whole week and a day, you know, December 17th. So that was nice. But, you know, all that happening right before Christmas, Christmas just came and went. We had a 7-day-old child in the house, so we didn't do anything for Christmas. And you know, a few people dropped by, all that stuff. But I was just like, man, Christmas is gone. It's like hit me like a sledgehammer. And you know what's weird is you have the option at any point of the year, as weird as this may make you to your friends, to watch Christmas movies and listen to Christmas music and, you know, feel that vibe a little bit. There's no way it's the same, but you know, I guess you always have that option. You know what? A question, totally different subject, by the way. You guys can hit me up on Twitter as you usually do about this, but where do you rank the movie Miracle about the 1980 US Olympics hockey team? Where do you rank that movie in your grand scheme of sports movies? This is a question to our listeners. And send me your answer on Twitter. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and give us your answer there. Man, I don't care if I have a 5-star review that just says mirror, like top five. You know what I mean? Like what? Whatever. It doesn't even make sense. Because man, I've seen it before and I've watched it a few times to say the least over the past like couple weeks. And I think it's in my top five sports movies. It might even be in my top three. And I have to have a serious consideration on how high that movie can go. I just think it is fucking awesome. You know, and Kurt Russell is just basically perfect in that role. And I can't get enough of it. Yesterday, I went back, and over the past 2 days, I went back and watched the original game on YouTube, original footage. Do you believe in miracles? You know, the actual game. And man, just fully engrossed to the point where I was actually watching a little bit of NHL hockey this evening with the in-laws. So I don't know. We might be taking a small step into a new sport here. We'll see. So Miracle, where does it rank on your sports movies? Or am I drastically overvaluing it? Whatever. Crazy stat I'm just staring at right now. Again, we do not do transitions in Striking Gold. Christian McCaffrey had 1,459 rushing yards, and the next 49er behind him was Elijah Mitchell with 281. It's a little bit of a discrepancy there. Christian McCaffrey had 203 more carries than Elijah Mitchell. Excuse me, 197. Weird. Anyways, we're in a down week. It's essentially the 49ers' second bye week as they wait for the wild card round of the playoffs to unfold, which we'll talk about a little bit later. We've already kind of talked about it. We're just going to kind of recap some news today, and it'll be a relatively short podcast. But I'm checking in, seeing how you guys are doing. It starts to feel weird if I go too long without talking with you guys. I am going to attempt to line up a guest for next week. Once the podcast may drop, I probably won't drop the first podcast until Tuesday or Wednesday of next week, because I want to wait to record it until the entire wild card weekend is finished. There is a chance that we'll know who the 49ers are going to face before that, but I wanted to wait till the entire wild card weekend is finished before I record the pod. So it could get kind of weird. There could be like two podcasts, a podcast coming out Wednesday and then a podcast coming out Friday, something like that. So I'm going to try and get a guest on just to kind of wrap up the season and preview the playoffs, and we'll see. Obviously, this episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. I'm only 5 minutes late on that one, but Prize Picks, love you. If you don't know what Prize, might as well drop the Prize Picks ad right now, right? If you don't know what Prize Picks is, it's daily fantasy sports made incredibly easy. You're picking 2 to 6 players. In some instances, you can even combine sports like football and basketball into like one single pick that has a bigger payout. You're picking 2 to 6 players. You're picking which stat projection you want to focus on, and then you watch the winnings roll in. What I like best about Prize Picks is that it's just incredibly simple, incredibly easy, very fast, very intuitive. There are very few things on this earth that bug me more than when technology does not work as it's intended, no matter how simple their purpose is. And Prize Picks never gives me any trouble. Always works. It's very easy to check throughout the game to see how you're doing. You can set a lineup in less than a minute. It's just awesome. It's been a lot of fun, and I'm thoroughly enjoyed utilizing Prize Picks and bringing them to your attention throughout the season. The rumor is, per source, is that they are signing up for another season, but we'll see. We'll see. You didn't hear that from me. Don't screen record it. If you want to get up on the Prize Picks action for some playoffs, okay, you're going to go to prizepicks.com/gold, and you're going to use the promo code GOLD. And that's what they're going to do, is anything you deposit up to $100, they're going to match it. So you put in $100, now $200 is in your account. Now you can turn that into, the sky's the limit for you. Take it all the way. Again, 2 to 6 players, you can pick flex plays, you can pick the power plays, you can go all in, you can safeguard yourself. It's pretty sweet. I like it. Prize Picks, again, daily fantasy sports made easy. prizepicks.com/gold, promo code GOLD. All right. Pete Carroll, he's out, which is kind of, an earth-shattering announcement for the NFC West. The longest tenured coach in the NFC West by a long shot. Well into his 70s. And it's, in a way, it's a little, just a little sad. Like, it's the end of an era. And obviously, Pete Carroll and the 49ers and his chewing that damn gum just all the time. It was just such a mainstay of what we considered 49ers football to be. You know, the Seahawks inspired such a massive arms race between them and the 49ers. And win or lose, you always knew those games were going to be scrappy and personal. And there were a few times where the Seahawks absolutely worked over the 49ers. And, you know, Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson kind of went hand. Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, Richard Sherman, they all kind of went hand in hand. And just the general disdain for the Seahawks, you know, Pete Carroll had his own hand in that. But obviously, as a person, has always seemed like a good guy, decent guy, great coach. But when he's on the other end of the battlefield, he's on the other end of the battlefield, you know. But it's just crazy to think about that Pete Carroll's out. You know, I'm not surprised the Seahawks did it. Doesn't necessarily shock me. And doesn't sound like Pete Carroll's done coaching, by the way. We'll see where he goes or what he does. You know, I think he's going to stick around, not necessarily with the Seahawks, could be. I don't see how you get told you're not going to be the head coach and then stick around like that. But it didn't seem like he necessarily wanted to be done. He said he fought to be the head coach, but obviously higher powers went out. At one point, this would have been a huge relief to the 49ers that Pete Carroll was no longer their head coach. And I'm not so sure anymore. You know, you see where the team is now, and obviously that has a lot to do with the roster and where it's constructed and who's the quarterback and trading Russell Wilson and all that stuff, which it seemed like it was obvious that it's the right move at this point. But, you know, is losing Pete Carroll a huge downgrade for the Seahawks at this point? I don't know. It depends on who they bring in. I don't think the 49ers mind that the Seahawks now have to find a competent head coach because they're dropping one. And, you know, no matter what your opinion of Pete Carroll as a head coach, he has an incredible resume. And now the Seahawks have to try to replace that. And it's not easy to find a good head coach. As you can see in the NFL, Bill Belichick is out. Mike Vrabel is out. I did not see that one coming. And, you know, the Chargers are looking to fill a vacancy. The Raiders are looking to fill a vacancy. And here comes Jim freaking Harbaugh. I couldn't see him going to the Seahawks, but you never know. Jim Harbaugh wins the national title with Michigan and just seems like he's headed back to the NFL. That rumor has been so persistent for so long, and now it seems like the timing is perfect. You know, he got in his little trouble this year for stealing signs or whatever, and I don't even know if that punishment has been completely handed out. It's interesting that Michigan wins a national title on the same year that happened. Is this going to impact that at all? I doubt it, but I really have no clue. You know, you've got so many openings. It seems like the Chargers are the likely favorite, you know, given the fact they have Justin Herbert. They seem like the only team with an opening that have like a competent quarterback, if that is the focus. You know, the Raiders is an awfully appealing job, but they've got Antonio Pierce, and it seems like the general sense in the NFL is kind of the NFL world is rallying around him getting that job, which it seems like that makes sense, but I don't want to act like I'm in tune with that organization. So it's just a lot of change throughout the NFL, and it's going to be really, really cool to see Jim Harbaugh show up on an NFL sideline again with those freaking khakis. The other day when he won the national title, I was just searching through Jim Harbaugh gifts, a lot of them 49ers, and there are so many hilarious just facial expressions, pitching a fit, being pissed off, being happy, grinning. He was like, he's just such a personality. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. So Pete Carroll's out. Bill Belichick's out. Mike Vrabel's out. You know, Jim Harbaugh's coming back. Who knows where he's headed out? And then somebody else that looks like they might be headed out is the 49ers, you know, assistant GM, Adam Peters, which is, you know, that's not necessarily a, you know, a reality that I think the 49ers or 49ers fans or anybody wants to confront. I mean, the hard part about this whole thing is nobody knows exactly who's responsible for what. You've got John Lynch, who's the general manager, and he's the president of football operations, you know, which is a big title. And they just recently gave him that title this last year.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
So there is a way. And again, before I get into this, it's hard to know. Obviously, Adam Peters has a sterling reputation within the organization, within the NFL. He's been interviewed for GM jobs over the past 2 or 3 years. This seems like the year, especially with, like, you know, the Washington Commanders under new ownership, you know, with some Bay Area ties going on there. Obviously, Martin Mayhew was their former GM. It just seems like this might be the year where Adam Peters officially goes on to create his own organization. But there is some wiggle room for the 49ers. You know, John Lynch is the president of football operations / general manager. If the 49ers really wanted to keep Adam Peters, and obviously this would need the approval from John Lynch, I'm assuming. I mean, obviously Jed York is the one making the calls, but, you know, the 49ers could easily make John Lynch strictly the president of football operations and then name Adam Peters the general manager. Now, you know, would John Lynch agree to that? It doesn't seem as simple as oh, just say yes, you're still here, you know, because Lynch, and he's often talked about this, is very much, having been a player, a team-oriented guy. He wants to be within the building. He wants to be a part of the organization. He wants to be a part of the reason his team wins and loses. You know, he wants that. You always see him on the sideline towards the end of games. He wants to be with the team. So does letting go of a general manager position and becoming the sole president of football operations, does that go against kind of his makeup as a player and a GM? Like, does it remove him a little bit further from that atmosphere that he craves? I don't know. I honestly don't even know what the president of football operations would do within the 49ers. I'm assuming that he could go wherever the fuck he wanted to and be in whatever movie and whatever meeting he wanted to. And, you know, at that point, he would no longer be the person making the decisions when it comes to draft picks, but I'm sure he would still have a voice in the building. So I don't know. It depends. Again, I don't know how much, what's the word I'm looking for here? I don't know how much credit to give Adam Peters for the success the 49ers have had. I'm from everything we've ever heard, it seems like a lot. He seems like a massive role. Is losing him going to have a dramatic impact on the talent that the 49ers acquire, both through free agency and the draft? I don't know. I don't know. That's the hard part about evaluating these guys, because there's no sheet that you can click on that tells you every pick that each one of these guys has had the majority of their fingers in. You know what I mean? So it's tough to just say the 49ers scouting department is going to take a massive hit without Adam Peters. You would assume that it has to be some of the case just based on his sterling reputation. But again, if the 49ers want to keep him, there is a way, but it would involve a little bit of wiggle from Lynch, you know, giving up his title as general manager and just strictly being the president of football operations. And obviously there's salaries that can be adjusted. You also need to talk about the fact that Adam Peters is essentially living out his dream job in the Bay Area. He's from here. His family's here. You know, does he want to pick all that up and move? I'm assuming the level of salary is a huge part of that. And also there's these guys that are driven to get this far in sports. They want to have a chance to call something their own. So that would seem like a reason that Peters would want to move on to another organization so that he could say this is his organization and the buck stops with him when it comes to personnel. But we'll see. We'll see. And if the 49ers let him go and if they weren't willing to make those adjustments to keep him, then that doesn't say anything about Adam Peters, but it just says that the 49ers were finally willing to embrace life without him in the building. And we'll see. Well, we'll find out pretty soon how important Adam Peters is to the 49ers and what decisions they make, if any, to keep him around. You could talk about other potential losses. Steve Wilks is getting some head coaching interviews, but it's hard, just to be brutally honest. It's hard to ever always know how honest those are. Every team has to satisfy the Rooney Rule, meaning a minority head coach has to interview for every head coaching position. And it's impossible not to pick up on the fact that a lot of those interviews are just because they have to. You know, no one would deny the intent of the program. And the 49ers have done an excellent job of facilitating that program and hiring minority candidates and helping build them up into genuine success stories in the NFL. So the program is obviously, it has good intent, but you can see around the NFL every year how many coaches are interviewed, and you can always just tell that it's just, they have no intent of hiring that coach. They're just doing it to check that box. And that in that side of things, it's sad. You know, that's not the way it's supposed to be. It doesn't necessarily discredit the program itself. You just wish that program didn't have to exist and everybody had an equal footing to begin with. But that's, you know, that gets a little into philosophical stuff. But we'll see. It seems a little soon for Steve Wilks to head back out the door. Things weren't always great for him in San Francisco so far. You know, he moved down to the sideline during the bye week and things have picked back up. And even then, the 49ers defense has not quite had the sting that it typically has had. So I don't see Steve Wilks getting pulled away from the organization just yet. Another shout out from Tyler Chin, our editor, texting me, asking me if I am going to record an episode today or if I'm waiting till Sunday. Tyler, here I am, and I will have this to you shortly. So it's interesting. I know Bobby Slowick, I believe, if I'm getting the right Slowick, he's being requested for an interview for an offensive coordinator position. With the Bears, I believe he is a 49ers passing game coordinator. Yep, 49ers passing game corner. No, excuse me. Clint Kubiak is interviewing for the Bears. Bobby Slowick has already moved on, right? He went to the Texans to be their offensive coordinator. I'm just mixing them all in. So the aggressive poaching of the 49ers coaching staff continues, but so let's keep going. Adam Peters, we'll see. Keep an eye on that. So let's talk 49ers and just kind of the general state of the team. Obviously, the most important thing at this point of the season is injuries. And it does seem like the 49ers have achieved what was an absolutely essential element of any reality of pushing late into the postseason. And that was to stay healthy. And for the most part, the 49ers have stayed healthy. I mean, I was trying to think of a better way of putting that, but that's really all it comes down to. The 49ers have stayed very, very, very healthy. It's not that they're without their injuries. You know, you've got a few kind of role players on. They lost Talanoa Hufanga. Kalia Davis, who was kind of just growing into that reserve defensive line role, he's out. He's on injured reserve. You know, they lost Drake Jackson. George Odom, who they just activated his practice window with torn biceps, special team star. He looks like he's actually going to make a push to play in the postseason. So the 49ers weren't without injuries, but for the most part, the roster stayed very, very healthy, especially in relation to what we have seen this team endure in the past. I mean, I believe it was last year that the 49ers were far and away the most injured team in the NFL, or it might have been the year before that. So the 49ers have absolutely been plagued by injury bugs in the past, and they weren't without their hits this year, but they are so, so, so much more healthy than we've gotten used to them seeing. And to me, especially with your key players, that was just the 1A on the priority list for the 49ers. If they were going to make another run into Super Bowl, they had to be healthy and they had to be going into the playoffs with all their studs. And for the most part, other than the couple names I just talked about, they're going into the playoffs with all their studs. Christian McCaffrey, he's taking this week off, but he's going to be good to go for practice next week. The 49ers aren't practicing a whole lot this week anyways. They really are giving their players time to rest. Christian McCaffrey should be good to go next week. He said last week that if week 18 were a big deal, he would have been able to play. So they're just being safe with him, as they are with most players that are out right now. Juwan Jennings has officially cleared the concussion protocol that he was in for like 3 weeks, which is a lot longer. I mean, when Brock Purdy had his concussion, he cleared the protocol within a week. Juwan Jennings took a few weeks. And again, every concussion is different. There are different severities of concussions. And couldn't be a better time for the old Juwan Jennings. I understand that he's really solidified that role as kind of a spot target, and especially on third down. But all of us watching that week 18 matchup, watching all those drop passes from rotational players on the depth chart, I think that Juwan Jennings being back within that wide receiver rotation, excuse me, had to clear my throat, is probably a bigger deal than I think a lot of people are giving it credit for. He's a locker room guy. He's a tempo guy. How many times have we seen Juwan Jennings get into the head of the opposing team and draw a flag? He blocks his ass off downfield. He's a big dude. He's like 6'5". Let me see. Sorry, I didn't mean to. I never try to sniff into the microphone, and one just snuck by me right there. Juwan Jennings, 6'3", 212 pounds. You know, he's a big dude, and he plays very physical. I mean, if he put on a little bit of weight, he could easily transition to kind of like a move tight end role and get in there and block along the line. Kind of just a set the tempo dude. And I think that the 49ers wide receiver core missed him than I realized. I think that having him back is a big deal. I think that having the three of them, Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, and Juwan Jennings ready to go at any given time is just a bigger deal than even I thought it was. Also, getting back Ray McLeod for the return duties, for the random wrinkles on offense, that's good. Juwan Jennings back into the lineup. Eric Armstead is going to return to practice. He returned to practice this week. Obviously, we'll be returning to the main practice next week. That's huge. One of the absolute best interior defensive linemen in the NFL. And it did seem like the 49ers run defense missed him. It seemed like the NFL teams were much more successful running down the middle of the defense with Armstead out. And of course they are. You know, I think that despite his long-term success, I think that the first couple seasons, the injuries he had that caused him to miss those seasons still is stuck in a lot of fans' heads. And they still get the idea that Armstead is some type of he's just a guy. He's not just a guy. He's an absolute beast. And if the 49ers, I mean, the 49ers are paying him $20+ million a year. And if the 49ers let him go, he would still get probably right around 20-something million a year. You know, he is an absolute dude. He's an absolute dog. And the 49ers defensive front, having him back after a few weeks rest. I mean, I need to get on here and look and see exactly how many weeks Eric Armstead missed. But him being able to take it slow with him and give him that rest and to heal up and to be able to come back now at this stage of the playoffs, it's a big deal. It's a big deal. Let's see. His last game was... Really, you don't have like weak numbers on here. His last game was filled, was the ass whooping of the Seahawks. So it's been a bit. And for him to have gotten that time to heal up and now back, that's a big deal. Reserve slash starting guard John Feliciano. He's in the mix. Let me see. I had Kyle Shanahan's transcript here. Where's he at? What was he dealing with? I was just reading it. Well, let's keep going. George Kittle, back spasms. He's fine. Dre Greenlaw, Achilles tendonitis. Those are why both of them missed the Week 18 game. Kyle Shanahan said they're going to be smart with them this week, but they're good to go. Tashaun Gibson's coming back. So is Jair Brown, which creates an interesting scenario between Jair Brown, Tashaun Gibson, and Logan Ryan, who is a veteran guy that maybe the 49ers might feel a little safer with in the postseason. We'll see. I'm interested to see how they treat Jair Brown, who had come in, obviously, to replace Talanoa Hufanga as a rookie, had his ups and downs, Jair Brown did. But they brought in Logan Ryan to kind of back him up. Logan Ryan got some action in Week 18. I'm interested to see how they're going to treat Jair Brown and Logan Ryan. John Feliciano is dealing with a back. He's day-to-day, so it seems that he will be good to go as well for the first round of the 49ers playoffs. And he seems like he has inserted himself into the starting role. He's been one of the better guards in the NFL, surprisingly, especially in the run game, since he stepped into another key free agent addition in John Lynch and Adam Peters' hat there. Ambry Thomas did have hand surgery, but it was minor, and he's supposed to be back this next week for practice. And again, George Odom, their special team star, tore his bicep, but they open up his practice window. So there's a very good chance that he will be able to be ready to go for the 49ers preseason opener in the division round. So again, just highlighting the fact that the 49ers are as close to 100% healthy as you can ask for at this part of the season. And reading off all those names shows you just how much they needed this bye week. You know, it was just an absolute must have in terms of a late postseason push. They're here now. The only downside of all this was in Week 18, Cleveland Farrell did. He's expected to miss 2 to 3 weeks with his knee injury. Kyle Shanahan said a few weeks, I'm assuming this week counts. Maybe might be ready for the NFC Championship game if the 49ers make it there. And he's a solid rotation player along the defensive line. You're going to obviously have Nick Bosa. You're going to have more Chase Young, more Randy Gregory. And I believe, did the 49ers not add a little bit more to that mix? Joseph Day, more of an interior guy. Let me see. I'm looking. No. I mean, Robert Beal did get his first sack in Week 18. Okay. So it's really going to, the onus is going to fall on Chase Young, Nick Bosa, and Randy Gregory, really. I don't know why Randy Gregory isn't listed among the other defensive linemen. Try to alphabetize it. All right. Let's keep going. I mean, really, the only other thing I have left to talk to is just kind of how the postseason's going to wrap up and just kind of how you guys can go about watching this. You know, on the playoffs start for you West Coasters, the playoffs starts at 1:30 on Saturday with the Browns versus the Texans. If you want somebody to root for the Texans and D'Amico Ryans, because that is an awesome story for him. And then at 5:00, you've got Dolphins and Chiefs at Arrowhead, and apparently that is supposed to be like -9 degrees or something like that. That's going to be wild. I'm assuming the weather like that favors the Chiefs, given the Dolphins are coming from Florida, but we'll see. And then the first game on Sunday, the 10 a.m. game on Sunday, is still AFC Steelers and Bills. And then when you get into the NFC matchups, okay, and right off the bat, you've got Packers and Cowboys. Packers are the 7 seed, Cowboys are the 2 seed. If by some chance, and it's not like we'd be surprised, if by some chance the Packers win that matchup, then the 49ers, after the very first game, will know who they are playing next week, because the Packers are the 7 seed. The 49ers are going to play the lowest seed that makes it out of this coming weekend. The Packers are the lowest seed that are in the playoffs, 7th seed. So if they upset the Cowboys, then who I believe are about a touchdown favorites, then that's who the 49ers would play. They would already be locked in for the Packers at Levi's Stadium the following week. I don't know if it'd be Saturday or Sunday, but we'll see. I mean, the 49ers would probably want it to be Saturday. They've had enough rest. And if the game was on Saturday, that would mean the Packers would have one less day of rest during the week and a long travel to a completely different climate. So I'm assuming that would be ideal option number one. Now, moving on. Let's say the Cowboys win that one. They're the number two seed. The 49ers aren't going to play them next weekend. Then you go to the Rams game, traveling to Detroit to play the Lions. If the Rams beat the Lions, I think the Lions are only about a 3-point favorite, which seems right to me. Again, it's one of those intuition things, I guess. I'm not trying to act like I'm the wisest man in the room. But if there was one team out of this whole group that I think the 49ers do not want to face, it's the Rams. Obviously, Sean McVay has intimate knowledge of the 49ers. The Rams have been on an absolute tear over the last like 8 weeks. I think they're like 7-1, including their win over the 49ers. I think if there's one team out of this whole group, I don't care about the seeding, and it's the Rams that the 49ers don't want to face. Not that the 49ers can't beat them. I just think the 49ers probably have more respect for the Rams and Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay than they do for any of these other squads. So anyways, if the Rams beat the Lions, which, if you ask me, I think they do. If the Cowboys beat the Packers and the Rams beat the Lions, and the 49ers will immediately be locked into the Rams matchup for the divisional game. And then last but certainly not least, you've got the Eagles and the Buccaneers on Monday night. If the Cowboys win and the Lions win, then the winner of this matchup will face the 49ers. So if the Cowboys beat the Packers, the Lions beat the Rams, then the Eagles and Buccaneers matchup will decide who will travel to Levi's Stadium the following weekend. And then with that matchup, there's no way a team isn't getting shorted on rest. That's on a Monday night. In the 49ers game, I'm assuming if it comes from that team, I'm assuming the 49ers game would be on a Sunday because they don't want that team to play on a Monday night, then have to play on a Saturday afternoon or Saturday night, but maybe they don't give a shit. So no matter what, if it comes down to that Monday night game, the team that's coming is not going to have a whole lot of rest compared to the 49ers. And that's when you start to see a huge discrepancy in earning that number one seed in that bye. Let's do a little prediction. I think the Cowboys beat the Packers. I think the Rams beat the Lions. And I think the Eagles beat the Bucks. So what that would mean is for the next round, you'd have Cowboys hosting the Eagles. Man, that would be a matchup. And then you'd have the 49ers hosting the Rams. Two teams that would be playing an opponent from within their division, which would be interesting. So that's my prediction. And I don't think the Lions are any slouch by any stretch of the imagination. I don't know, man. There's something about them Rams right now. I know you guys are probably telling me to shut the hell up and to stop saying that because I'm going to do some weird, like, speak it into existence type shit, but it's just what I'm saying. It's what I'm saying. I don't want to predict the AFC side of things. We'll get into that later. Regular season's over. This is the playoffs. Interesting. Interesting that we're here. All right, I think that's it. I think we've wrapped it up. I think we've done the damn thing. Again, I'm going to my hope is that I'll have a guest lined up for you to break down the 49ers, kind of like wrap up the season. And that's my intent, is to kind of wrap up the season and the main storylines of the season, and then preview whoever their playoff matchup will be. And again, if I can't squeeze it in earlier, there's a chance that podcast may not be recorded until at the earliest Monday night to be released Tuesday, or on Tuesday to release Wednesday afternoon or Wednesday morning. So just letting you know, just keeping you in the loop. Appreciate everybody. Thank you for listening to Striking Gold. Thank you for being an integral part of this podcast. If you want to give us a little bit more support, go to whatever app you're listening to. Leave us a 5-star review. Leave us some words if you want to. But just know that I appreciate you, and the fact that you are listening here is already the ultimate form of support. So playoffs. What's today? Today's Thursday. So you'll be listening to this on a Friday. Well, at least a Friday. So we're just a couple days out. Man, it's exciting. But hey, sponge it in. Enjoy every matchup. The NFL season is quickly coming to a close. So enjoy it all. Enjoy it all. Especially this crazy 49ers season. All right, everybody. Appreciate you. I'm Rob. This is Striking Gold. We're signing out.